Thanksgiving this morning in such a spirit of worship. But it's not just Sunday mornings. You know, it's very convenient. It's not, there's no cost to pay, like some people who don't have the freedom that we have to gather together and worship and praise God. We thank God for the freedom that He's given us. Don't take it for granted. But whether we have this freedom or not, that we will experience in 2012 every day, whether it's convenient or not, that we will experience the spirit of praise and thanksgiving. And the word on my heart is Psalm 50. Psalm 50. It says there, I like the way it begins. That's how it must be. That's the picture we must always have of God, whatever the circumstances, whatever the situation. This is the picture that we should have of God. It's a psalm of Asaph. It says, the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken. I like that. The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken. That's the picture we are always to have of God. Not some tiny, puny God who's helpless. You know, when things go wrong, when something happens, when we come into trials and difficulties, where we are fighting some temptation or some trial, that God is so helpless. A mighty God. The mighty God who has spoken, and we know right in the beginning, when He spoke, things happened. God's word has power. When He spoke, it was done. Things came. He created the earth in 7 days. Let there be light, and there was light. And we see that right from the very beginning. And that's a picture that we should always have of God, the mighty God. We sing it. We have a great, big, mighty God. But do we really believe in the situations that we come into? And it says that He has summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, that's the church, God has shone forth. May our God come and not keep silence. Fire devours before Him, and it is very tempestuous around Him. He summons the heaven above and the earth to judge His people. Gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. That's what God says. Gather my godly ones to me. That is the thanksgiving and praise that can make things happen. When praise and thanks come from a godly mouth, from a godly life. So gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. When it comes to sacrifice under the new covenant, Jesus once told the religious people of His day in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. We looked at those verses many times. He said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. And again in Matthew 12:7, you know, when another situation, if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. Well, the Pharisees, the religious people, were ready to criticize Him, ready to find fault. And this is what He says, it's not sacrifice. They were very faithful in the sacrifices that they offered to God. But Jesus said, He said, go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. And we need to learn that also. It's not what we, it's not sacrifice that God is looking for. God is looking for people who are merciful and compassionate. He said, that's what I want. If you know what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you won't condemn the innocent. But there are primarily two sacrifices God is pleased with under both covenants. I don't know if you've noticed that before. Number of sacrifices in the Old Covenant, they had to do various things, various sacrifices for various sins that were committed. And there was a thanksgiving sacrifice, there was a burnt offering, there were so many sacrifices. But as I look at it, there are two sacrifices that God is pleased with. And we read of one in Psalm 51, verse 17. Psalm 51 and verse 17. where David says, we know that that is a psalm of repentance after he had committed sin, fallen into adultery and murdered the woman's husband. And David repents, and that is a psalm of repentance that we see. And he says there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. That's a sacrifice God is pleased with. And if you look at Psalm 51, he says there in verse 16, he says, you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And that's something that we must always remember. This is a sacrifice that will always please God. Not how much money we put in the offering box. Not what I do for the church. Not how much I sacrifice. But a broken and a contrite spirit. That's a sacrifice God is always pleased with. Not just say that we go to Him and confess our sin, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. But a brokenness, a spirit of contrition, that when I've sinned, when I've failed God, Lord, it breaks me so much, Lord, when I see what it has cost you. That's a sacrifice God is always pleased with. And may God give us a spirit of brokenness. And when we fail Him, when we fall, that it will be brokenness, not just confession. And that's the sacrifice God is pleased with. And the second sacrifice which is on my heart to talk about this morning in Psalm 50, which we just read. And verse 5 we just read, gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Yeah, it is a sacrifice that we are gathered together, the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary, the sacrifice when we have a broken and a contrite spirit. But what is God thinking about here or asking for? We read that in verse 14. It says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me, listen to this, in the day of trouble, I shall rescue you and you will honor me. Offer to me a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And God says earlier, gather to me my godly ones who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Have we made a covenant with God by sacrifice? That no matter what it costs me, Lord, I will always thank you. I will always praise you. Job under the oath. Not even under the old covenant, lived much before the old covenant. Never had the Bible, never had the Holy Spirit, never had any of the laws of God, that he said that he could say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What a man, no wonder God pointed him out to Satan. And if we can be among those who have made a covenant with God by sacrifice, the sacrifice that God speaks about here, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High, that I live in obedience to God, in obedience to His commands. This is the sacrifice that we are to offer up daily, brothers and sisters. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. People speak of how much they have sacrificed for the Lord. You know, I've done this, I've done that. And, we read so much, and it's all true. People go into distant lands, they go and they have sacrificed their family, cost their partner's health, it cost their children, some of them have lost their children. And it's true, we could sacrifice so much for God, but the sacrifice that God is pleased with, here are two sacrifices, the sacrifice of a broken and a contrite heart and a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Like we heard earlier, it's a praising life that God looks for. And if we want to experience God's power in the different situations we face, and we'll face a lot of situations in 2012, we don't know what is before us. But one thing we know, that we can say, Lord, whatever it is, you're in control. The Mighty One, God has spoken. You're in control. No matter what happens, I will trust you. I will still give thanks to you. So all our sacrifices, no matter how much we may do for the church, no matter how much we may give physically, financially, everything pales into insignificance when we think of the sacrifice that God has offered up for us through His Son Jesus Christ. And we look at it, it's really not a sacrifice. And sacrifices cost us something. You know, when it's inconvenient, that can be a sacrifice. But it pales into its insignificance. I don't call it a sacrifice. But the meaning of sacrifice means it costs us something. It doesn't cost us much to gather together here and thank Him and praise Him and have a wonderful time of praise and thanksgiving. But there may be other situations. Maybe situations in your work spot. Maybe situations in the home. Maybe some problem with your health. Maybe some problem with your children as they grow up. Different things. And it can be costly. But in the midst of it all, that I could say, Lord, no matter what, I still trust you. I will still thank you. I will not complain. You're in full control. That's the life that God looks for, my brothers and sisters. The sacrifice of thanksgiving means it costs us. That's the meaning of sacrifice. Why does God say, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving? That means when it costs us. When it costs me to say thank you, Lord, I thank you, I praise you. I don't understand. Things seem to be going wrong. I don't understand. Maybe some situation, maybe some financial problem. Lord, I don't understand, but you're in control. The mighty one. And I will thank you. I will praise you. It's up to you to take me out of this. You will make a way of escape. Maybe some sin we are battling. Something that has defeated you for years and years, and saying that I can keep on praising Him, I can keep on thanking Him. Lord, I will come to victory. I will taste of your life in this area, no matter how long, whether it's irritation or anger or lust. Lord, I still trust you. I will not give up. And that we can thank Him even when we don't feel like thanking Him. That can be a kind of a sacrifice when I don't feel like thanking Him. When in a situation I just don't feel like thanking Him. But the Mighty One is in control. God, you have spoken. You're in control. And I'm going to thank you. We see in Acts chapter 4 verse 23. We know, we have read that many times. But if you just turn with me for a moment there. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. You know the story here. You know, this was a situation where the apostles Peter and John were arrested, and this lame man who was healed, was lame from birth and was healed, and all the people were amazed. And then it says that they understood, verse 13, that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed, and this is what I like. They began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Not how intelligent, not how experienced, not how much of the scriptures you know. You can know the scriptures, and it's good. You can know God's word, you can preach it, you can explain it, you can teach it to others. But do people recognize you and recognize me as having been with Jesus? That's what I look for. Not how much I can bless the church, not how much I can sacrifice. But when they look at you and me, we may be untrained, inexperienced, not so much of education. God's not looking for intelligent people. God's looking for those who are willing to be with Him, to get to know Him. And so they recognize them as having been with Jesus. And we don't have time to look at the whole story. But it says they commanded them in verse 19 not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And they were so bold, you know, they said we would obey God rather than man. And when they had threatened them, verse 21, and let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened, for the man was more than 40 years old, and so on. And when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. I like that. They lifted their, you know, we had a tremendous time of praise this morning. But how does God see it? Was it with one accord? We came to the meeting, maybe you're not talking to somebody. You're not talking to your partner. Does God accept that praise and that thanksgiving? It says that with one accord, they lifted their voices. And said, "O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." There it is, you know, they go back what we read in Psalm 51. It's you, Lord, who has made the heaven and the earth and all that is in them. For by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant said, "Why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ." And so on, you know, as they give thanks to God. And verse 29, "Now, Lord, take note of their threats. Grant that your servants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, when they had praised and prayed and gave thanks to God, so the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. I want you to see that's what happens. Praise is not something that, you know, we make a lot of noise, we enjoy it, we feel nice. Something must happen. And when they praise God, when they give thanks to God, and they prayed to God, the place was shaken. There was an earthquake. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what they asked God for, they began to speak the word of God with boldness. That's what I want in my life. I want people to recognize that I have been with Jesus. Where I'm in, how much of intelligence I have or not, or how much of the Bible I know or not, I want them to know that I've been in with Jesus. I want them to see that there's something different. And that when we pray, that when we give thanks to God, when we praise Him for who He is, that He is in control. You made the heaven and the earth. Something happens. That's what I want to impress on your hearts this morning, because I'm afraid that many of us can be lulled into a kind of life where we don't expect anything to happen. Oh, it's gone on like this. This has always been like this. Oh, I've always been like this. Oh, he's always been like this. Maybe something in the home, maybe with your partner, maybe with your children, maybe and you have a difficult boss. You don't expect to see anything happen. And you think the only thing is, let me get out of this situation. Let me find another job. Let me move to another house. You know that story about that couple was always having problems. Always, and they thought the best thing to do is, let's get out of here. Something wrong here in this house. Let's move out. So early one morning, they packed the cart and put everything in and said, let's go away quietly. So nobody knows, nobody sees us. And while they're going along to find another place, they heard a little voice at the back. We're moving, are we? Remember that. I cannot escape. I think that the answer is get out of this situation. Find another job. Maybe it may be necessary. And we give up. We don't expect anything to happen. I'm afraid that many of us are being lulled into a kind of thing. You know, this has gone on so long. It's a praising life, my brothers and sisters. When I give thanks and praise to God, something will happen. Something happened. I want you to see it again and again. We don't have time, but if you have time, go through the scriptures and see that that's what happened. When they thanked and praised God, something happened. And what they asked God for, He answered. Look at Acts chapter 16. There we read about Peter and John. Here we read about Paul and Silas. You know that some of these scriptures we have heard many times in the church, but we get so familiar with them that we don't believe that the same things can happen to us. Acts chapter 16 and verse 19. You know, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace, and They beat them. They beat them black and blue. And they threw them. It says there, we don't have time to go through the whole incident there. But there in verse 23, when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, we are all here." He called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Something happened. If they just think, we are so badly wounded, our backs are so taken up with their own condition. We can sometimes be taken up with our own physical condition. I don't feel well. I'm so sick and I have this problem. And this person is creating a problem. And we think about ourselves. I had to say this to somebody who kept asking for prayer. I said, "Brother, you're too self-centered. You're always thinking about yourself, your problem, your ailment." And we grow old that way. And we can grow old, saw old people always, with all our pains and aches and problems and difficulties. But that word brought release for that brother. We can be so self-centered, always thinking about me and my family. Yeah, maybe we need attention. If we are sick, we need to see a doctor. There are problems, there are things that we may need to do. But if we can, like Paul and Silas, they were not thinking about their bruises and all that happened. Their feet were in stocks. They were praising God. They were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And something happened. There was an earthquake. God loosened their bonds. A man got saved, and not only he got saved, but his whole family. Something happened. That's what I want to impress upon our hearts. Something must happen, my brothers and sisters. If we offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, something will happen. And what we are praying for, God will answer, whatever it is. Because He's the mighty one. He's the one who's made heaven and earth. I want you to think of it, because we need this in the coming days. We don't know what problems, what difficulties, what crises, what tragedies. But if I can always see that God is in control, and we don't have time to see the rest there. There was a revival, there was a movement of God. And I believe that that's what God wants to do for us as a church. That's what God wants to do in our lives, in our homes, in our families. We read about Abraham last week. I'd like you to turn there for a moment. Romans chapter 4. Many, many incidents. I've just picked out a few. But I want you to look at it, the times when people thanked and praised God. God's power was let loose. It will always happen. And here we heard last week, last Wednesday if you were here, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, excuse me. Verse 19 there. Yeah, it speaks about the faith of Abraham. And this is the sentence I want to underline. It says there, he was a father of many nations, verse 17. "Have I made you," God said to him, "in the presence of him," listen to this, "whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist." That's the faith Abraham had. You know, that's power packed there. That statement, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. I'm looking at the Message Bible. Yeah, it says that we call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. And it says further down, because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life, calls into being that which does not exist. That's the faith Abraham had. And so we read further. It says, in hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations. Verse 19, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body now as good as dead. We heard last Wednesday what Brother Zach shared. When he was 86 years, and then when he was 99 years, something happened, 13 years. And this is the place that God brought Abraham to. When he saw his own body now as good as dead, since about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. What did Abraham do? He gave glory to God. Lord, I don't understand. I tried to produce a son. I produced an Ishmael. But now I'm impotent and Sarah's barren. 100%, no chance, no hope of a child. But that statement that we read, he believed in a God who calls the things existing which do not exist. And when it says there, he gave glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. That's the faith we are to have, my brothers and sisters. We are to have a praising life, to believe in God, who calls the things that do not exist as existing. That's the God we believe in, the Mighty One, the Lord of heaven and earth, who calls into being. Just like in the beginning, there was no light, there was only darkness, there were no trees, there was no land, there was no the water covered the earth. But he called into being the things which do not exist as existing. He said something and it happened. God wants us to have that kind of faith. His power will be let loose in our life if we can learn to trust him no matter what. And that's how Abraham trusted God. He did not waver in unbelief, it says, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. I want to encourage us, no matter what happens, that we don't waver in unbelief. We give glory to God. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. It's not easy to thank you, Lord. That's a sacrifice. But I offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's with such sacrifices. God is not only pleased, but he does something. He moves into a situation where it is impossible. That's what God does. And then we know, I like you to turn, we've read that numerous times, but I'd like you to turn there to 2 Chronicles and 20. We read about Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles and 20. These are scriptures we have read many times in this church, if you've been coming here. Through the years, I can think of the times for 36 years. But how much has it made an impact on our lives when we look at the situations of, these are real to life situations. They are not some pie in the sky story. They are not fairy tales. Here's a man, Jehoshaphat, and he says here, he was in a difficult situation. And he says here in verse 20, he says, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. And when he had consulted the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord. He made a choir there who praised him in holy attire. I want you to see that. Gather my godly ones to me. I tell you that when we live a godly life and we praise God and thank him, power will be let loose there. Gather my godly ones. He got a choir together But a choir was in holy attire. I hope you choir members don't just come on Saturdays and don't just sing on Sunday. I hope you're clothed in holy attire, that you're godly. You want to bless the church. You don't want to show off. You don't want to show how well you can sing. And that's the kind of choir Jehoshaphat got together as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." And listen to this, verse 22. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. When they began singing and praising, not halfway through, the moment they began singing and praising, it's the spirit, it's the attitude. Jehoshaphat was in a difficult situation, but he trusted in God. He trusted in what the prophets had said. And he says, "We will succeed." And he got people together. Not the whole motley crowd. He got people together who were clothed in holy attire. And when they praised God, when they began singing and praising, it says the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and they were routed. And you read further on, they began fighting with one another. That's how God works on our behalf. Oh, it thrills me, it excites me. But I want 2012 to be a praising life. I want to see, not just understand God's power. I want to see God's power let loose through me. And when I pray, something happens. And what I ask for happens. Oh, we think, yeah, maybe God will answer, maybe He won't. Offer to me a sacrifice of thanksgiving, my dear brothers and sisters. That's what God says to us. Pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. If we fulfill what God requires, further, if you turn back to Psalm 50, doesn't stop there. Psalm 50, verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, they're religious people. They're not a worldly people outside the church, but to the wicked, those who have God's commandments, who take God's name, He says, "What right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? You hate discipline. You cast my words behind you." You know, there are people like that. There can be people like that in the church. They were always been. Jude warned against them. "When you see a thief, you are pleased with him. You associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil. You backbite. You speak about this one and that one. Criticize the elders. Your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother or your sister. You slander your own mother's son or your mother's daughter. These things you have done and I kept silent, because you thought I was just like you." Sadly, that there are people who fall into that category. The Lord says, "I'll reprove you, state the case in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God." These are people who forget God and all that He has done. To sit and backbite and criticize, talk about their own mother's son, their own brother, their own sister, problems among the relatives, and we think, "Oh, he's not in the church, so I can talk as I like." You know, God has had to rebuke me sometimes. Maybe a family member, maybe somebody who's causing trouble. And I think he's not in the church, he's not converted. God doesn't say anything about you. You sit and talk about your own mother's son, your own mother's daughter. I kept silent and you think I'm just like you. And the Lord says to such, "Consider this, you who forget God, or I'll tear you in pieces and there'll be none to deliver. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me." So that's what God says even to those who forget God, who backbite and criticize and find fault and complain. Offer a sacrifice, repent, come back, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and to him who orders his way aright, I'll show the salvation of God. And like we heard Brother Newton share, it's the praising life that honors me. As soon as you set your foot on the way, I'll show you my salvation, says God. Where there is no way, God will make a way. Let's seek If we want to experience God's power in 2012, let's ask God to help us to offer to Him a sacrifice of thanksgiving, that it will be a praising life, the praising life that pleases God. He says, it's a praising life that honors me. As soon as you set your foot on the way, the moment you make a beginning, God will open up the way. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're battling, whatever the problem, as soon as you set your foot on the way, God says, I will show you my salvation. I'll make a way where there is no way. We can experience God's power. But finally, I want you to also see that in the last times, there'll be those, Paul warns, will have a form of godliness without the power. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. I want you to see that that's closely connected with Romans chapter 1 verse 23. You don't have time to look at it, but you can look at it sometime. The ones who have a form of godliness, where does it begin? Romans 1 23. When they knew God, they did not honor Him as God. They gave room for speculation. They did not give, it says there, maybe we should just turn a moment there, Romans in chapter 1. Verse 23, because it's important that we steer clear from that spirit. Romans chapter 1, verse 23. Yeah, verse 21. Even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. You see where it begins? They did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And there you read the downward trend where God gives them up to a depraved mind. And that's what we connect with 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul says that in the last days there'll be those who will have a form of godliness without the power. Where does it begin, my brothers and sisters, when we stop being thankful? We stop being thankful, the downward trend, we don't have time to look at it. The downward trend is so you have a depraved mind. God gives up such people. They have a form of godliness, and these are not people outside the church. These are people who come into the church. Let us steer clear from that spirit. Let's have a praising spirit. Let's be among those who God can say, gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. To offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, to always have a broken and a contrite heart. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. Let's make 2012 a year where, Lord, I want to praise you no matter what. I want to give you thanks no matter what. I'm going to stop complaining. I'm going to finish with finding fault with my partner, with my children, with my boss and with my neighbors. Lord, I'm just going to thank you and praise you. There may be things we have to do. I'm not saying we just sit back and do nothing. We may have to correct our children if we're having a problem with them. We may need to speak to the boss if I find it's getting too tough on me, but in the right attitude. I'm not talking that we be doormats and let people walk over us. If we're having a problem with a neighbor, we can speak to the neighbor. But we keep a good attitude. In spite of it all, we have a thankful spirit. Lord, I thank you. You're in control. You'll do something about this. And I'm not going to stop thanking you. I'm not going to stop praising you. It's a praising life that honors God. Let's seek for that. I tell you, we will see things happen. We saw every time God's people did that, something happened. There's even earthquakes. That's how God moves. When we seek Him. But most of it all, that what we ask God for. They asked for boldness, God gave them boldness. They spoke the word of God with confidence. Things will happen. I want to impress that upon us. If nothing is happening, my brothers and sisters, let's do a checkup. Test yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Give a checkup on yourself, whether Christ really lives in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Whether we are really crucified with Him, then God's power in that chapter will be directed towards you. So we need to check up on ourselves. If nothing happens, our prayers are not being answered, and I go on living a life where I don't bother. And we become insensitive, and that's the most dangerous thing that can happen. You know, you get a little, if you become insensitive in one of your, then you're concerned. I don't have feeling in these fingers, in this hand, or something's happening. And we run to the doctor. So if we're becoming insensitive, let's run to God and ask God to really help us to be in touch with Him, to give us a thankful, praising life. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we want to experience Your power in a way that we have never known before in our homes, in our family life, in our personal life, Lord. We want to be a people that people will see that we are not intelligent, not with so much of Bible knowledge, but they see us as people who have been with You. They recognize us as those who have been with Jesus. We want to see Your power released through us, Lord, in 2012, in our personal lives, in our homes, in our work spots. And so, Lord Jesus, we repent of the times we have grumbled and complained and find fault and criticized. We repent of the times we have backbitten. Repent of the times we sit and talked about others. We want to be finished with all that. Lord Jesus, please help us. Make this a year. A year when You'll be pleased, Lord, that we can offer to You a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, a praising life. Lord, I want that, Lord. I want it at no matter what the cost. I don't want to just say words glibly, but please help us that we would be a praising people, a thankful people that would see Your power let loose, Lord Jesus, through the church and through our own lives. Pour out Your Spirit upon us. We are a needy people. And we want to be what You have planned us to be on this earth. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
We heard this morning from Acts chapter 3 how this lame man, he was lying there for many days. But, you know, Peter lifted him up and he was supernaturally healed. This man who was lame, he says he was from his mother's womb, he was lame. And he was begging. And Peter gave him something much more than money. And he was supernaturally healed and something happened. I want you to notice, brothers and sisters, Acts chapter 3 verse 8. After he was healed, Peter says verse 7, and Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And it says here, all the people saw him walking and praising God. You know, when you're lame, people can see. You're just lying there begging for money. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, spiritually, how was it this morning? Is there some lameness in your life that you are just begging, oh Lord, help me, Lord, I'm struggling, Lord, nobody's there to help me. Are you begging? The Lord wants to reach out to you and heal you this morning. And when the Lord heals you, everybody can make out this walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, I want to be like that in the spirit, if not physically. That people can see in your heart that there's a walking and leaping. You know, when we say, brother, can you just praise the Lord for a few minutes? Do you praise the Lord in a sleepy way? Father, You are the Lord of heaven and earth. And you know, some people pray in a sleepy way. And I believe, brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to so fill us with the spirit of praise and thanks that there is energy and enthusiasm and exuberance. And I want to be like that all the time. That there should be a leaping. I don't mean physically all the time. I don't mean just in our emotion. But you know, the Lord can do such a work in us that no trial, no difficulty, no circumstances, nothing can make you lame spiritually. Can I say amen for that? Amen. According to your faith, be it unto you, brothers and sisters. You say, nothing is going to make me just lie down there. Even if I'm sick, at least in my spirit, Lord, I'll praise You. I'll worship You. The Lord wants to give us such a triumphant spirit. Maybe the Lord wants to heal some of you. One day, once upon a time, you had a spirit of praise. You've been saved for so long. But today the spirit of praise has become weak. And you start begging. Lord, please help me, Lord. I'm not saying you should not pray. There's a time for praying. There's a time for praising. And there's a time for exercising authority and say, devil, get behind me. I believe the Lord wants to always, like it says in Psalm 18, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Can somebody say the remaining part of the verse? So shall I be saved from enemies. Maybe you can look at that verse. You know, one thing we can learn from David, Psalm 18. That's one of my favorite verses. Psalm 18 verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from enemies. And we heard this morning in Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. Psalm 50, 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and thou shalt glorify me. And I believe the Lord wants to help us in every trial. You know, the Bible says, do not count it all strange when you fall into diverse temptations. Just count it all joy. And whether you like it or not, all of us face many temptations and trials and situations. And you know what? Many times we don't know what to do. Are you with me? Yeah, many times, sometimes we don't know, Lord, what's happening to me? And Peter says, beloved, don't count it strange. And it's good to know that God's allowed this trial in my life with a purpose. Maybe the Lord wants to strengthen you, not be lame spiritually, and so that you can exercise faith and say, Lord, even though it's so impossible for me, Lord, I believe you, Lord, you'll do a miracle for me, you'll open a way for me. And you start praising the Lord. And many times, God does something for us. And that's what David experienced many, many times. That's why for David it was not a message. David experienced God's salvation. You know, like, for example, when he met Goliath. You know, brothers and sisters, after we get victories, it's one thing to praise the Lord. Even before David could kill Goliath, he said, maybe I'll show you that verse, 1 Samuel. I love that expression. That's the mark of a man who's got faith. Yeah. Look at the way David told Goliath. Here, all the Israelites were scared, including the king. Here was a young boy. His heart was full of faith. Here is a big giant, proven giant. But David says to him in 1 Samuel 17:45, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword and the spear and with the shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And before he killed Goliath, he said, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head from you, and I will give the carcass of the host of Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into your hand. I really praise the Lord for such a spirit that David had, a young boy full of faith. He didn't trust in himself, he didn't trust in his experience. Even though he had good experience, he said, God's going to do something for me today. He's going to help me to cut your head. Brothers and sisters, that's the word of faith. He says they believed his words and sang his praise. When you believe God in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the difficulty, faith comes forth from your heart. And what's the proof? You will start leaping. Even though you have not seen the salvation yet, you will say, Lord, I believe. You'll work for me. You'll work on my behalf. And you'll see me through. You'll give me grace through this trial. And that is the sacrifice of praise, brothers and sisters. When you don't feel like praising the Lord, when you don't see an answer to the different problems you have, but you say still, Lord, I know, Lord, you allowed this with a purpose for me. And I know you're not going to let me down. And you're going to see me through. And the Lord gives you a leap of faith and a leap of praise, and everybody can see this brother is not having pity for himself, but he has faith in the Lord. I'll call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved. You know, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, when they saw the enemies, they grumbled. But after the enemies had drowned, they praised the Lord. But I believe God wants us to do much better, not just after the enemies are drowned, long before our enemies are drowned. Say, Lord, I trust you. You call me Lord. You'll never leave me. And oh, may the Lord give us such a spirit of praise always. He says, let us continually. Maybe we can look at that verse also. Hebrews 13. That is the new covenant life God wants to bring us to. Not just once in a while, when things are okay, you know. Hebrews 13. You know that verse well? Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know, when we get saved, in the beginning we don't understand. Every small trial comes, say, Lord, why this for me? Why that for me? And then we are babes. And unfortunately, so many of God's children are babes, but I believe the Lord wants to make us mature. How? How will the Lord make us mature? By taking us through trial after trial after trial. And in every trial you learn to praise the Lord, no matter how you feel. So that after a particular period, you just don't worry about your feelings. That is new covenant life, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we feel like praising the Lord, sometimes we don't feel like praising the Lord. It's got nothing to do with our emotions and feelings. You know, you walk by faith and say, Lord, like someone said, anyhow I'll praise the Lord. I'll praise the Lord no matter what happens. And David had that such faith even in the old covenant. He didn't look at the situation and get disheartened. Oh, may the Lord help us in the different situations of life every day to remain in a triumphant spirit of faith that David could say, you are my glory and the lifter up of my head. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, has the Lord lifted up your head? Or is your head hanging in shame? Jesus has come to lift your head and anoint you with oil and fill you with the spirit of praise that nothing can silence you. Like the song we sing, thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast put on my sackcloth. So that it says, we can praise him. I believe the reason why the Lord does a fantastic work in this, so that all the time we praise him and thank him and worship, not just on Sunday morning. I believe that's one difference between us and other churches. For most people, Sunday morning, that's the main thing, the worship time, brother. Yeah, I'm not against that. But for me, it's not just Sunday morning. For me, every day, I want to be a worshiper. I want to be a praiser. I want to be a thanksgiver. And I believe the Lord wants to make us, he wants to train us every day so that now you're not worried about the day, you're not worried about the time. Like I've said before, we don't have any bad time, we don't have any bad day, we don't have any bad mood. Isn't it good to be like that, brothers and sisters? Can you say, the Lord's brought me to the new covenant so that it's not theory for me? I hope your sisters also can say that. Can your sister say, by the grace of God, I'm finished with all bad moods? One day somebody asked me, what about depression? I said, I'm not a psychologist, but I know, I follow Hebrews 1:9. I said, the Bible says, if you hate iniquity and love righteousness, God can anoint you with the oil of gladness. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that's our birthright in the new covenant. To be so anointed with the oil of gladness that people can see whether you have money or not, whether things go well or not. As people can see, this brother, there's an anointing of gladness, oil of gladness on his life. I hope you'll covet it. And coming back to what we're hearing this morning, it says, call upon me in the day of trouble. As I said, we don't have a formula. Brother, this is the way you should do. Sometimes you pray, sometimes you praise, sometimes you rebuke the devil. And as the Lord leads us, we do what the Lord says. For example, we know in Daniel's time, the king had a dream and he said, you got to give me the dream and interpretation. And if you don't give, I'm going to kill all the wise men. And Daniel is one of the wise men. So it says Daniel, maybe you can look at that, Daniel chapter 2. There was a difficulty there. Not difficulty, it was serious. There was a threat for his own life. And so Daniel got hold of his friends, Daniel chapter 2, and they sought the Lord. And the Lord answered them. The Lord gave the interpretation, dream and interpretation. And oh, Daniel, praise the Lord. So, as I said, there's no fixed formula. Sometimes we pray, sometimes we praise, sometimes we claim God's word. And Daniel did both. He prayed and he praised the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. And oh, may God teach us more and more in different situations. Whatever situation the Lord leads us. For example, one more situation we see in 1 Samuel 7. Here, when Samuel, God was using Samuel to bring about a revival, and we find the Philistines gathered together to attack God's people. And verse 1 Samuel 7, 8, it says, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord. And Samuel, verse 9, it says, he offered a burnt offering and cried unto the Lord. And the Lord heard him. I like that. Oh, maybe also you'll be able to say, like David, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Don't say, oh brother, how will the Lord hear my prayer? If we are walking according to the light God's given us, if we have a clean conscience, I believe we should be able to say, I believe God will hear me. Because I'm, to the best of my ability, I'm seeking to do God's will. And then we know, it says here, the Lord thundered with a great thunder, and the Philistines, and God helped them. And I believe that's how the Lord wants to help us. And we can also look at Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah, we know, disobeyed the Lord, ran away from God's presence, and then he got stuck into a fish. Maybe it's possible sometimes we also disobey the Lord and we are stuck in some problem. And Jonah prayed. You can, when you go home, you can read that. Jonah didn't pray a religious prayer. It didn't come from his head. No, Jonah prayed from the heart. And that's good for us to learn. To pray and praise the Lord from our heart, not just from the head. And after praying, Jonah said, but, verse 9, I will sacrifice unto you with the voice of thanksgiving. That was not easy for Jonah. Imagine he was stuck in the whale's belly. There was no way out for him. And he said, Lord, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, none of us are in that situation this morning. I hope not. I'll pay that I owe. Salvation is of the Lord. And when he praised the Lord brought Jonah out of the whale's belly. And I believe that's a lesson for us to learn, not just begging, even though there's a time for praying, but there's a time to, like it says, give a shout of praise in faith. I trust you, Lord. You're going to help me. My enemies, Lord, will not triumph over me. And Lord, you're going to bring me through triumphantly. And you know, that voice, that sacrifice of praise, and that's what brings salvation. That's the word we heard this morning. Psalm 50. We can go back to that. Verse 23. Whoso offers praise honors me. Like it says in the Message Bible, it's the praising life that honors me. To him that orders his way aright will I show the salvation of God. You know, brothers and sisters, why we have difficulty? As long as you're grumbling and complaining, you don't get an answer from the Lord. As long as you have a wrong attitude towards the circumstance, you don't find the answer. And if you say, Lord, to the best of my ability, I've tried to cleanse myself. And I trust you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I praise you. And when you do that, you find God doing something supernatural for you. And oh, maybe experience more and more, brothers and sisters, supernatural answers to our prayers. Supernatural deliverance. in the midst of many situations. You know, like the Lord told Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? You say, oh brother, it's so difficult. It's not too difficult for the Lord, brothers and sisters. And that's what Abraham did. It was humanly impossible for both Abraham and Sarah to have a child. But it, like we heard this morning, he believed God. And he praised the Lord. And may God give us this morning such a spirit of faith, such a spirit of praise, such a spirit of thanksgiving, so that it becomes more and more normal, natural, everyday life, a praising life. Not once in a while, not just in the conference, not just on the New Year's Day, not just on some special days. Like David says, I'll praise the Lord no matter what happened. I bless the Lord at all times. And I believe the Lord wants to bring us to such a life where every day, no trial, no situation, nothing can suppress that spirit of faith and praise and thanksgiving. Then we can say, God's really at work in you to do your will, to do His will, and His good pleasure. And in closing, this verse, Psalm 69 verse 30. Psalm 69 verse 30. I'll praise the name of God with a song, and I'll magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. Better than an ox or a bullock that have horns and hooves. Brothers and sisters, when you come to such a life where there's only praise, only thanksgiving, you can please the Lord. Your life will please the Lord. Don't say, oh brother, it's impossible for me to please the Lord. That's unbelief. It says, without faith it's impossible to please God, but with faith you can please God. When you say, Lord, I submit to you totally. I surrender myself. I don't question you, Lord. Have your own way, Lord. And when you surrender like that, you'll find there's only praise, only thanks. Oh, may the Lord bring us to a new level in this year 2012, brothers and sisters. Maybe you're still under the old covenant. You praise the Lord once in a while. When things go well, you praise the Lord. When things are difficult, you start grumbling up and down, up and down. The Lord wants to give you a leap this year. You say, Lord, I want to cooperate with you, Lord. I want this year, I want to leap and praise you, not just lie down once in a while. No, say, Lord, help me, Lord. And I want to be steady this year. I want to be consistent. And I want to see your salvation more and more. I want to see more and more freedom in my life. I want to see more and more deliverance, Lord, in my life. And I want you to lead me higher. Can you trust the Lord, brothers and sisters, this morning? Shall we close our eyes and pray? The Lord wants to help you out of your situation, out of defeat, out of mourning. Will you believe? Say, Lord, I believe. No matter how difficult this situation, no matter how difficult this trial, my enemies will not triumph over me. Can you say, Lord, you lead me triumphantly? And like that godly brother said, only believe. Your life will be changed. And open your mouth. And don't be quiet. Just praise the Lord. Say, Lord, I trust you. No matter how impossible the situation is, I will praise you, Lord. Like Zechariah, let your tongue be open, brothers and sisters. Loosen. Like that lame man, may strength come to your legs even this morning. And say, Lord, give me, Lord, grace to leap forward in faith. That the devil will be put to shame in my life. That you will be honored. Lord, we thank you for your presence and your word this morning. And we pray, Lord, you'll minister to your people, Lord. And we pray especially for those, Lord, who are perhaps lame in their faith this morning. We pray that you will heal them, Lord. And Lord, that they shall lay hold of you and come to freedom and deliverance, Lord. Yes, Lord, we pray that you will minister to your people this morning and bring them to such a triumphant life in you every day in this year, Lord, that Satan may be crushed under their feet, Lord, that you will be glorified and honored, Lord. Oh, we pray this morning, Lord, that you will really strengthen us and fill our hearts with your Spirit, Lord, that like your word commands, that we can always make melody in our hearts to you, that you can sense that wonderful fragrance coming forth from our lives, Lord. We pray that you'll make it a reality, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.